You're listening to ESL Podcasts, English Cafe, number 47. This is English as a Second Language Podcast, English Cafe, episode 47. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in the hot and beautiful city of Los Angeles, California. Today's cafe, we're going to talk about retirement communities, special places that are built for people who are retired or no longer working. We're also going to talk about some common American superstitions. And as usual, we'll answer a few questions. Now let's get started. As always, we remind you to go to our website at ESLPOD.com. There you can find information about this podcast and a complete learning guide, which includes all the words and vocabulary and definitions that we'll be using today, as well as a complete transcript of this podcast. Our first topic today is retirement communities. These are places that are built especially for people who are older and who are no longer working. To retire, R-E-T-I-R-E, means to stop working, to leave your job, usually permanently. That is, when you are not going to go back to work again. In the United States, this usually happens for people who are at the age of 65. That's the common retirement age for many companies. You can leave your job when you are 65 years old. Sometimes it's 62 years old. In some companies, people retire even earlier. They leave their job if they have enough money to live on. People who are older and who are retired are sometimes called retirees, R-E-T-I-R-E-E-S. The singular would be retiree with two E's at the end. And that is someone who is retired. It's a noun to describe a person who is retired. People who are over the age of 59, 60, 62, it depends, are sometimes called seniors, S-E-N-I-O-R-S. A senior, singular, seniors, plural, is a person who is considered older. There isn't one age that is common. Usually over 60 or 65, someone is called a senior. We'll sometimes call them a senior citizen. A senior citizen, that's the same as a senior, which is now, I think, a little more common to say senior instead of senior citizen. There are many different places where someone can go. Many people live in their own house or apartment that they've always lived in. But some people move, they sell their house, and they go somewhere else. If you are in good health, you can still do all the things that you need to do on your own, you might move to a retirement community. And that would be a special town or place that's built for people who retire. Many of these retirement communities are built in Arizona and in Florida, the states of Arizona and Florida here in the United States. The reason is very simple. It's warm in Arizona, and it's warm in Florida. Also, Arizona and Florida have often traditionally been considered cheaper places to move to because there's so much land, for example, in Arizona, which is mostly a desert. So there aren't a lot of people that want to move there. And so this was a place where many of these communities were built because the land was cheap and because, most importantly, it's warm. Remember that most Americans live in states like New York or Illinois, Minnesota, places that are cold during the wintertime, very cold. And when people retire, they want many times to move somewhere that is warmer. Sometimes there are people who live in one house during the winter and they move back to their other house in the northern part of the United States during the summer. Because although it is warm in the winter in places such as Arizona, it is very, very hot in the summer. We call people who move during the winter time snowbirds. Snow, S-N-O-W, birds, B-I-R-D-S, is the name for someone who leaves their northern house in the northern state, colder state, and goes to a warmer southern state. Of course, birds also move south to get away from the cold weather, and so that is where we get the term snowbird. One of the most famous retirement communities in the United States is called Sun City, S-U-N City. Of course, sun is something that you have a lot of in Arizona. The states that have warmer weather, especially in the winter, are sometimes called the Sun Belt, S-U-N-B-E-L-T, two words. That describes states that are located in warmer climates, places where you have warm weather, Arizona, New Mexico, probably Texas, would all be part of the Sun Belt. Well, the city, Sun City, is located in Arizona, and it was built especially for people who want to retire. One of the things about places like Sun City is that there are very few children. In fact, many of these cities don't want families with young children moving there. Because, of course, young children can often make noise, like my neighbor's children do almost every day. And some people who are retired, who are older, they don't want to listen to that noise. And so they want to live in a place where there are very few children. And Sun City is one of those places. The population of Sun City is about 40,000 people. Only 3%, I'm sorry, 0.3% of those families, those people who live there, have children under the age of 18. So that's less than 1% of the whole city have children. And that is what we would say, something that is done on purpose. When we say something is done on purpose, P-U-R-P-O-S-E, we mean that it is intentional, that it is something that they wanted to do. It was not an accident. So if you want to move to the United States and live somewhere that's very warm and that doesn't have any children, has mostly people who are older, then Sun City is for you. Maybe someday you'll see me at one of those communities. Not too soon, I hope. Our second topic today is an interesting one. It's about superstitions. A superstition, S-U-P-E-R, S-T-I-T-I-O-N, all one word. A superstition is a belief that someone has about good luck or bad luck. Something good is going to happen if you do this. Something bad will happen if you do this. These are superstitions. They're things that people believe that will bring them good luck or bring them bad luck. For example, we've talked before in our podcasts about crossing your fingers, to put one finger in front of the other. This is something that is a superstition. It is the belief that if you put your fingers one in front of the other, cross your fingers, that you will have good luck. Sometimes we even use that as an expression. Cross your fingers that I win the lottery means you should be hoping for, you should be wishing me good luck. Of course, crossing your fingers will not help you win the lottery, really, but it's a belief that people have traditionally. And even though logically or rationally we know that these things aren't true, many people still do them. They still believe in them. So I thought I'd talk about some of the most common ones here in the United States. Some of these, of course, may be common in your country or in other countries that you know of. I thought I'd start with weddings, since August is a very common time, the summertime, to have weddings in the United States. June, I think, is the most popular month for weddings in the U.S. But all during the summer, people have weddings. And there are some superstitions about weddings. One superstition is that the person, the man who's getting married, we call him the groom, G-R-O-O-M, should not see the woman that he is marrying, who we call the bride, B-R-I-D-E, before the wedding begins, especially if she is in her wedding dress. So traditionally, the bride and the groom dress in different rooms, and they don't see each other until the wedding begins, what we would call the wedding ceremony, C-E-R-E-M-O-N-Y, the actual time that the two people get married to each other. This is becoming less and less common, partly because couples who are getting married like to have pictures taken with their family, and it's often easier to do that before the wedding than after the wedding. So when I got married many, many years ago, my wife and I had our pictures taken before the wedding, so I did see her before the wedding, which is probably why I have such bad luck. The superstition is that you will get bad luck. Bad things will happen to you. Of course, that's not true, mostly. Another superstition is that the bride, the woman getting married, should wear something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. It's a little rhyme, a little poem. And these are, again, it's a superstition that a woman getting married should wear something old, perhaps from her mother's wedding dress or from her grandmother, something new, which is pretty easy because the dress itself is usually new, something borrowed from someone else, someone lends you something, for example, some jewelry, a necklace or earrings. And finally, something blue. I don't know why something blue, the color blue, but that could again be anything that the bride is wearing, or perhaps her hair could be blue. Some more obvious superstitions that you probably know about. The number 13 is considered very unlucky in the United States and in other countries. In fact, in many buildings, there is no 13th floor. There is no 13th level. You get in the elevator, and the number will go 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, that there will be no 13th floor. And this is, again, because of the superstition that 13 is an unlucky number. So you will not see the 13th floor in some buildings, older buildings in the United States. That's not as common anymore. I was the 13th member of my family, my parents, and my 10 brothers and sisters. So I was the youngest, number 13, and that's why I have such bad luck. Look what happened to me now, you see. It's clear that this is true. Another number superstition is the seven-year itch. The seven-year itch. To itch, I-T-C-H, is when there is something bothering you on your skin, and you have to take your hand and rub your skin. We would say scratch, S-C-R-A-T-C-H, your skin. That's when you have an itch, something that's bothering you that you need to scratch. Well, the seven-year itch describes a superstition that a man, after he is married for 7 years, will want to get a new romantic partner, perhaps even a new wife. This is the seven-year itch. My seven-year itch was a few years ago, and I didn't feel any itching at all. But that is a superstition that at year seven, when you're married, something the man may want to leave the marriage. There are several other superstitions about bad luck and good luck. Many of them are very common among children, especially, but some adults also believe these, or at least act as though they believe them. Walking under a ladder, L-A-D-D-E-R, a ladder is something that you would climb up to get to the top of a building. To walk under that ladder is considered bad luck. Also, seeing a black cat, is considered bad luck. If you see one, you may have bad luck, according to the superstition. One that I remember when I was a child was stepping on a crack, C-R-A-C-K. A crack is a break. It's when there is a separation in the ground, usually on a sidewalk. S-I-D-E-W-A-L-K, all one word. A sidewalk is where you walk in front of a house, and usually it is made of brick or stone or concrete. And sometimes when the sidewalk gets old after many years, there is a crack in the sidewalk. Or in between the two blocks, there is a crack, a space, a separation. And the superstition is that if you step on a crack, that you will have bad luck. And I remember that one when I was young. I would always jump over the cracks so I didn't step on them. Other common superstitions include breaking a mirror. If you break a mirror, you'll have, I think the usual number is 7 years of bad luck if you break a mirror. It's also considered bad luck to open an umbrella, U-M-B-R-E-L-L-A, an umbrella inside. So if you're inside of your house and you open the umbrella, which normally you use outside of the house, so the rain does not hit you. But if you open it inside, that's considered bad luck. There are also some things that are for good luck. One of them, traditionally, is to have the foot of a rabbit. what we would call simply the rabbit's foot. And a rabbit's foot is supposed to be the foot of a rabbit of course, the rabbit is dead. You wouldn't want a live rabbit in your pocket. But a dead rabbit's foot is what you put inside your pocket for good luck. I had one of these when I was young. And another superstition for good luck is blowing out candles. To blow, B-L-O-W, out, two words, means that you use your breath to put out or to blow out a flame, a fire, on top of usually a cake, a birthday cake. So the tradition is that you put candles on top of your cake, one candle for every year of your age. So for me, it would be a huge fire. And the person who is celebrating the birthday has to blow very hard. And if you get all of the candles out, then your wish will come true. Well, I blew out all the candles in my birthday cake last year, and I can tell you that my wish did not come true. I did not get a phone call from Angelina Jolie. She did not call me. We did not go on a date, and so my wish did not come true. So don't believe that one. Now let's answer a few questions. Our first question today comes from Carlos, C-A-R-L-O-S, in Brazil. Carlos has a couple of questions. He wants to know the difference between some similar words. The words that he wants to know are fling, F-L-I-N-G, throw, T-H-R-O-W, cast, C-A-S-T, and toss, T-O-S-S. Well, let's talk about those. Those words all mean to throw something, to take something, usually in your hand, and to move it to another place by moving your hand quickly and putting it in the air. That is to throw something. Some of these words, fling, cast, and toss, are used in particular situations, usually with specific things that you are throwing. To fling something, F-L-I-N-G, means usually that you are throwing something very fast and very hard, sometimes because you want to hurt another person. You want to hit them. And so you fling a plate or a cup or something that you can use to hurt them. That would be the most common use of the word to fling. To cast, C-A-S-T, is a word that you might use if you are throwing something into a lake or into the ocean. He cast his wedding ring into the ocean and said, "I no longer love my wife." That doesn't actually get you a divorce, however. You can't just throw your wedding ring in the ocean. You're still married. I tried that. So to cast is just to throw something, usually into water, a river, a lake, an ocean. But you could also use it for other things. But that's one of the more common uses. To toss, T-O-S-S, is similar to fling. Usually it's when you are giving something someone and you are throwing it very slowly usually you do that for a very short distance. So if there are just 2 or 3 feet in between, you might toss something. If you are asking someone to throw something to you, you might use that verb to toss also, such as, toss me that pen means throw that pen to me. You wouldn't say cast me that pen or fling me that pen. You can say throw and toss, but not fling or cast. Thank you, Carlos, for that question. If you have a question, email us at ESLPOD@ESLPOD.com, and we'll try to answer it in a future English Cafe. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan. This podcast is copyright 2006 by the Center for Educational Development.